7654321.
It's now time for the Pony Cake Sports Podcast with your hosts, Josh Stevens, Tim Thompson, and Tom Schultz. Woo!
Hey there, everybody. We are back again, and we are going to be breaking down none other than the Indianapolis Colts. Tom, how do you feel about that?
I'm excited to talk about them. I really wish Tim wasn't here for this episode because he's going to say a bunch of dumb shit. It's going to kind of make me angry.
No, it is what it is.
Shut up.
I will not say dumb shit. I'm very excited to talk about the mediocre Colts and how they were mediocre, how their quarterback's mediocre, and how 500 is, you know, it's a good thing for them.
Well, if you guys have not checked out our previous episode, do so. We broke down the Jacksonville Jaguars. This episode, we are doing the Indianapolis Colts. The next couple episodes, we are going to be doing the Tennessee Titans and the Houston Texans. Again, we are Pony Cake Sports. Check us out on Twitter, Pony Cake Sports, Pony Cake Tim, Pony Cake Tom. Email us, ponycakesports@gmail.com. Check us out on our website, ponycakesports.com. Check out our buddies on their website, cleatgeeks.com. Hit them up on Twitter, @cleatgeeks. Let them know that we are the ones that sent you. They do a bunch of articles and all that good
stuff. I don't
know
if they're my buddies anymore. I invited all those bastards to my kid's birthday party. None of them came.
Well, they live in Arizona and, like, California.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did they forget that planes were invented?
I'm just saying.
God, Cleat Geeks.
So, regardless, check out their website. Check out all their articles and all that. We are on all those. So, yeah, not bad. Let's kick it off with the Indianapolis Colts. They have, who is their general manager, Tom?
Most people refer to him as Chris Ballard, but most diehard Colts fans call him BDB, Big Dick Ballard. So if you guys could call him that, I'd appreciate it.
Don't call him that. His real name should be, since they're only a 500 team and they're not that big, is Baby Dick Ballard, because that's his real name. We have a mutual friend here who actually lives above the Pony Keg Sports Studio. He's known as Baby Dick Dan. His favorite person is Baby Dick Ballard. So
he is not going to be happy when he listens to this episode.
I love the start of the show.
You know, things are coming out hot, but that's the facts.
Let's talk about some of the free agency that the Colts did have. Again, they finished last season 8-8, which was good for third in the division. But yeah.
Did they make the playoffs?
They did not, oh, no. Okay. So I understand that we're going to have a couple of those jabs, and I'll kind of smooth over it for you, Tom.
For everything that I had to hear about, okay.
We were gentle with the Bears.
Oh, no, you were not. And I believe after our fantasy talk time, you've always told me there's the championship, and then there's loser, 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 loser. So, according to your scale, your own self-made scale, the Colts and the Bears are on the same level. They're the same team. Both losers.
It's true.
Well, okay. At least you admit it.
All right, let's go through the free agency real quick. I'm going to start off with Mike Adams. He ends up leaving there, goes to Carolina for a two-year deal. Zach Kerr, defensive tackle. He's going from Indy to Denver, two-year deal there. Chris Carter, outside linebacker, going to the Washington Redskins on a one-year deal. Jonathan Hankins going to the New York Jets for
Harrison.
Harrison. What did I say?
Hankins.
Hankins, yeah, my bad. Jonathan Harrison to the Jets for a one-year deal. Patrick Robinson, he ends up leaving. Will you shut up?
Sorry.
Okay. My God.
Still getting over my sickness.
Patrick Robinson, he leaves the Colts and goes to the Eagles for a one-year deal. And, yeah. So,
overall, I think the Colts did a good job of cutting the fat for their team. Mike Adams, he has played well for the Colts, far better than I thought he would. He's been kind of old since he got there, but he's getting a little gray. He's getting older, losing Dwayne Allen. I love that. They traded him to the Pats. No other guy I really wish they kept. So, I'm happy with the guys they let go.
Yeah, I kind of agree with Tom here. It's just trimming the fat is a good way to put it. No one who really added any substance to your team, so I don't feel like they lost anything major by any of these cuts.
Couple of the additions that they made in the offseason, they re-signed one Robert Turbin, running back. So they end up drafting a running back. They still have Frank Gore. They add Turbin back again. Little underrated signing, I think, in my opinion, or re-signing. Kamar Aiken, wide receiver coming from the Baltimore Ravens, going to the Colts. I think he's going to slide in perfectly for competition with Philip Dorsett for the third wide receiver spot. And Sean Spence, he ends up coming over to the Colts. Barcavius Mingo. Who else do we have here? Marcus Hunt coming over from the Cincinnati Bengals. He's more of a, you know, defensive line specialist. He blocks the ball a lot on field goals and stuff like that. And now we're going to get kind of into some of the bigger name guys. Jonathan Hankins, I did mention him earlier. I misspoke. He's the big signing that they did make. Coming over from the Giants, going to the Colts. We were talking about it before on how that could possibly be awesome for the Colts. 3-year deal, $27 million. Kind of that anchor for the Colts on defense, in my opinion, now.
Yeah, the Colts, they run a 3-4, and one of the most positions for a 3-4 defense is a nose tackle. They have not had a true nose tackle on that team. David Perry was average at best at the spot. Hankins is going to be able to move around a little bit, play some 3-tech and nose tackle, but I absolutely love this signing. He was the nose that I wanted them to get. I did not want Dontari Poe. Hankins, though, it's absolute steal and should help their run defense quite a bit.
It was a great addition for them. I remember when he was in Indy, and I believe the rumors were he left without a deal. And Tom, you were texting some not so nice words to all of us. You were not happy. And then it was just a matter of like hours later that it was announced that he was signed, and you were crying, and it was weird. But no, great signing. Nothing. What else can you say? A perfect fit for them. Exactly what they need. Love it.
Jabal Sheard, he comes over from the Patriots. 3-year deal, $25 million. Again, a D end. And then John Simon, outside linebacker from Houston. And then we have Al Woods, defensive tackle coming from Tennessee. So a couple more signings that they had there. Not bad.
Yeah, getting Simon and Sheard, two huge upgrades to what they had last year at that outside linebacker spot. Sheard's going to be able to move across that D line a little bit, but primarily will be standing up and be playing outside backer for him. Simon as well, kind of underrated for the Texans. Didn't get too much play time, but that Texans defense is absolutely stacked, and he was kind of the backup there. But he's a hell of a football player.
Outside of the Jonathan Hankins signing, it was a bunch of nuts and bolts, guys. But that's what the Colts needed to do, specifically on the defensive side of the ball. I love all the moves that they made. They brought in guys who are, I believe, are upgrades over what they had already. And nothing shocking, nothing that is going to blow you out of the water, but Sean Spence, like you mentioned, Al Woods even, like you mentioned, a bunch of these guys are guys like Kamari Aiken who are going to just be able to go out there. Arthur Jones was released, obviously. But
thank God.
Yeah. I like what the Colts did to add depth to their team and improve at the same time.
They were able to get 4 to 5 possible starters on the defensive side of the football via free agency. Didn't have to pay that crazy of money besides to Hankins. So overall, I think Big Dick Ballard did a pretty good job in free agency.
Yeah, Baby Dick B was all right. John Bostic signing as well, which I know he's not a huge name, but someone who I know as a Bears fan. Going into a 3-4 defense, he was just kind of non-existent. New England just didn't need him last year. So someone who I think can actually have a role for the Colts. And then the other one, Josh, I'm sure you were going to get to, but I'm going to steal your thunder here a little bit. Signing a Christian Michael. You know, they're just kind of looking for guys there to step up as well. So with Michael, with Gore, with who's the other running back they signed that you already mentioned?
Robert Turbin. I was trying to stick to relevant players, not one Christian Michael.
I would be kind of shocked if Michael makes the team, in all honesty.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, Christian Michael's had all this talk ever since he came into the league. He's got all the tools. He's got all the, you know, he's got all the potential in the world.
Intangibles?
Yeah, and he just cannot put the shit together.
Part of me thinks, I actually felt bad for him last year going into Green Bay because everyone expected the world of him to just go in there, take the job away from Ty Montgomery, and it was going to be the greatest. He was going to be God's gift to the Green Bay Packers. And I felt bad for him. I'm sorry. When you have the quarterback going to hand the ball off to his left and Christian Michael's running on the right-hand side.
He didn't know the playbook.
He comes in mid-season. Yep. You know, I don't fault him for that. Expected to go in there. I believe the first week he was brought in, he was then in game. So I don't necessarily fault him. You're trying to then go listen, NFL teams, especially, you know, specifically on the offensive side of the ball, you get into rhythm, you feel like family. He was like the adopted son that no one wanted, right? People were happy with Ty in Green Bay. They were happy with what he was putting out. I felt bad for him personally. I hope he's able to get a job in Indy and kind of, you know, reignite some of that spark that he had at times in Seattle.
All right. Let's go on to another part where there are additions on the team, and that is the 2017 NFL Draft.
There were a few teams that got tremendous value in the first round of the 2017 draft. One of those teams was the Indianapolis Colts. The 15th pick in the first round, they selected free safety Malik Hooker. Malik is the definition of a ball hawk. 7 interceptions last season, 3 returned for touchdowns for the Buckeyes. If you want to see this kid's range, turn on the Clemson tape. Malik made one of the best interceptions I have ever seen personally in that game. He's a special player with unique traits, and in my opinion, the best free safety prospect to come into the NFL since Earl Thomas. And he's the type of player that can help transform a defense. A+ for BDB with this pick.
By the time I got done wiping my tears after the Bears selected Mitchell Trubisky in the second round, by the time I got done punching holes in the Pony Keg Sports studio, I wiped my eyes, I took a fresh breath of air, and I see Tom crying tears of joy. How in the hell did Malik Hooker fall to number 15? This is the best pick of the entire draft. Hands down. This guy is going to be a staple for the Indianapolis Colts defense for the next decade. He is an unbelievable presence. He does, and Tom, you know, argued with me a little bit. My only concern, if there was one, would be that he always has played with great corners in front of him at Ohio State. But that is not to try to take anything away from him. The kid is an absolute stud, and outside of Jamal Adams, was the most obvious top 10 DB pick, in my opinion. I love, love, love this pick for the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah, I had Malik Hooker going to the Chargers, I believe, consistently at pick 7. And for him to slide all the way down to the Colts got an absolute steal. And he may not be 100% healthy, but he will be. And that's the thing that you got to look at. It doesn't matter if he's healthy right now. He will be. He's got great instincts, and he's great on the field. He's a ball hawk, and he does what he needs to do. Great addition for the Colts, and a great move. I like the pick that they made.
High character guy as well.
In the second round, the Colts added some more help to their secondary. They desperately needed to add some talent there, and they selected Quincy Wilson of Florida, cornerback. Quincy Wilson, he's got great size, good length, really long arms, really physical at the line of scrimmage, good with pressing and not letting receivers get past him and kind of interrupting their whole route process before it even gets started. Good feet, good hips, good hands, exactly what the Colts look for in the cornerbacks. On my draft board, I had Quincy, I believe at 23, but a top 30 player overall getting picked in the second round, absolute steal. He might struggle with some of those faster, smaller wide receivers. Doesn't have that burner speed. He ran in the 4.5s, but I think it was absolute steal. Good value. Better than the Bears' first-round pick.
Yeah, I was I was looking at the corner that was drafted after him, and it was his teammate, Tease Tabor, and he was drafted by the Lions a little bit later at pick 21, and I'm glad the Colts went with one Quincy Wilson over one Tease Tabor because he fits that defense more than a Tease does. And plus, I also heard that there was a rumor that the guy that they really wanted was picked right before them, which was one Adam Shaheen. So the Bears stole them right underneath their feet. So they had to settle for one Quincy Wilson. No, all joking aside, Quincy Wilson, I had him mid-first round grade. And I really thought that's where he deserved to be. And when I did my film breakdown on Tabor, because Tabor has had all this talk about how he was supposed to be this first round pick, possibly the first or second or third corner off the board, watching the tape, I was like, man, who's this kid playing on the opposite side of him? He is all over the field. He looks a lot better than Tease Tabor. And then it turns out it was one Quincy Wilson when I started looking at Quincy Wilson tape. And Quincy Wilson is just so much better than one Tease. And I'm not harping on Tease, but it just fits the Colts defense, and I just like the pick for them. It makes a lot of sense.
It's I love it. I absolutely love it. Listen, I feel like Quincy Wilson is a better cornerback than Marlon Humphrey, who was taken 16 overall. He's better than Adoree Jackson, who was taken 18 overall by the Titans. Obviously, they also bring some other things to the table, but another just great pick for the Indianapolis Colts. I love the fact that they're trying to get younger, somewhere that they struggled for throughout the last, 3 to 4 years. You're in a very, very, pass-heavy league right now. That's kind of the MO. If you don't have a top five running back, people like to throw the ball around. The fact that this, and then even the next pick, I'll leave it to you here, Tom, in a second. I am extremely, extremely jealous of what the Indianapolis Colts did on draft day.
Tim, I appreciate you being so professional right now. I really thought you were
going to... Wait till we get to the offense, champ.
I really thought you were going to be bashing all these picks, which would make zero sense, because they've all been A-pluses so far. But the Colts continued to stick to the plan of adding defense in the third round. In the third round, they selected edge rusher Terrell Basham from Ohio. He's one of those high-motor, high-effort rushers. Not the greatest bend, but pretty technically sound. Violent hands and good at disengaging from O-linemen. Gives 100% on each snap. Plays a run well. Most likely he will be only used in situational pass-rushing situations this year. Those third and longs, some of those second and longs. But I think this is a guy who could step in and add talent to a position that the Colts desperately needed. They're one of the worst teams last year at getting after the quarterback, and Basham's going to help them tremendously at this spot.
Again, not to keep stroking you here, Tom, but I love the pick again. My only concern is, he's more of a hand-in-the-dirt type of guy. Is he going to be – he has the frame and the build of a stand-up outside linebacker, but he's used to having his hand in the dirt. How is it all going to translate to the NFL? So that would be my only concern, but overall I love the pick.
Yeah, I'm all right with it. You're just adding more pieces to the defense. The defense didn't play the best last year, and they weren't the worst either. So adding another D lineman, it does not hurt one bit.
Josh, I'm going to ask you this question because Tom knows that I'm biased because I like making fun of Tom's team, and Tom loves the Colts. In 2017, who has more sacks, Terrell Basham or Derek Rivers? Obviously, Derek Rivers is the one who was drafted just a few picks later by the New England Patriots from Youngstown State.
Yeah, I like Derek Rivers a lot. I'm not a big Derek Rivers fan. I'm going to go bash him. So I'm just not a big Rivers fan. I hate the fact that he landed on the Patriots, though. I know you guys are really high on Rivers. I was not, and I would rather have Basham on my team than Rivers.
I miss the old Indy Patriots rivalries. I hope they do come back. They have the potential to still come back, hopefully with through Tom Brady's last couple of years here. But I just love, there's that small part of me that's like, all right, the Patriots see, okay, Colts, you're gonna take a rusher? All right, we got you one up. We're going to take this D2 guy. We're going to one up you.
The first head-scratching pick for the 2017 draft for me, for the Colts, was the selection of Zach Banner, USC. They labeled him as a guard, but he played primarily right tackle in college. This guy's, he's a straight-up giant, 6'8", 350 pounds. He's a player who struggles with speed tremendously. Tim Williams made Zach Banner's life miserable when he lined up against him to open up the season. When he gets his paws on people, though, he can shut them down. Very good at run blocking. And I'm kind of intrigued to see where the Colts are lining him up. Minicamp is starting this week for him, but it'll be interesting where he's seeing most of his reps.
Yeah, I don't like it at all. It's basically like the Colts just decided to take this huge physical specimen and go, hey, you know what? Let's see if we can get him to become a normal human being and actually be a dominant, it reminds me of, in high school, how, the football coach would just go to, the big dumb kid who just didn't realize how huge he was and be like, hey, you ever play football? And he's like, no. And Josh is shaking his head because that was Josh in high school. But,
no, it wasn't.
But that's kind of what I think that the Colts did there. It was a reach a little bit, I don't know how he's going to translate in the NFL.
Man, I'm going to tell you one thing though. If he does learn how to control his weight, and he can get in shape, and he can be something that's, you know, somewhat of a formidable blocker, I guess, in a sense, then you guys got a steal right there.
How many what-ifs do you want?
But that's what I'm saying. It's so tough with these some of these later-round guys. It's just, with a fourth-round pick, late fourth-round, almost a fifth-round pick, he was the best available guy at that spot, and it's just, he's a monster of a man. He is huge. If he can control his weight and do all that, you got a great guy. But me personally, I'm just not a big Zach Banner fan.
If Antonio Cromartie were wearing condoms, he wouldn't have 18 kids right now. There's so many ifs with you.
The thing is, Josh made a valid point. When you're drafting kind of on day three in the draft, a lot of the GMs are looking for traits. And Zach Banner has a trait that you cannot teach, his size. And Joe Philbin, the O-line coach for the Colts, personally worked him out at USC and absolutely loved what he saw, and he was banging the table to draft him. So, obviously, there's something they believe in. Personally, I don't think he'll see the field this year unless it's goal line situation and they bring in, like, a sixth O-lineman. Yeah. But in that type of situation, he'd be good at it because when he's asked to run block and be a big-time mauler, that's what he does. And there weren't many guys that can get their hands off of him. So, he's an absolute Goliath of a man.
He's huge.
Yeah. The selection of Marlon Mack, though, at the end of the fourth round kind of made up for the Banner pick in my eyes. Colts needed an explosive running back. I think that's what they got with him. He was a threat that could score from anywhere when he played in college. Anytime he touched the football, he had a chance to score the football. Big play threat. He's going to need to work on ball security. He had quite a few fumbles in college. He'll need to work on his pass blocking. But it'll be a nice addition for the Colts, even if he's mainly uses a third down or a check down running back. I think it'll be it's a great spot for him, especially learning behind Frank Gore, who's been in the league for years. He knows how to play running back in the NFL, and he's one of the better veterans to teach a younger running back how to play the position.
I hate complimenting Tom's team, but we have talked about this at length with other GOP member of Pony Kick Sports, Mike, I believe, is the one who brought it up in our group chat. We were talking about football, but about where we think Marlon Mack will end up. I am extremely, extremely high on Marlon Mack. I feel like he's going to be the steal at the running back position, the guy who comes out of nowhere, the Jordan Howard, you know, award, if you would. He's the one I'm nominating to win the Jordan Howard award. I believe he's going to get probably... I think he's going to get somewhere around 40% of the snaps. The Colts have to start looking elsewhere from Frank Gore. If he can come in, if he can just start by being a blocking running back and then get a few carries and open some eyes. I really feel like with a good camp, you're going to see Marlon Mack play a big role in the Indianapolis Colts offense.
Yeah, he's fast. He can move. He can put some moves on people out in the open field. Six of his 15 touchdowns went for 40 or more yards. So he's got big play potential. He can outrun people. Will that transition to the NFL? We'll see. But he has the opportunity to get some carries from Frank Gore. Because we will see a transition eventually.
Oh, yeah.
I just don't think Marlon Mack is the guy. I think we'll see that next year. When they address that in the draft class next year in 2018.
Guys, earmuffs for a second. Early fantasy preview for everyone. Marlon Mack is the guy that you should be targeting late in your drafts, specifically if you are in a dynasty league. Marlon Mack has a huge, huge upside with being on the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah, I do agree with that.
I told you not to listen, so please shut up.
With their third, fourth round pick of the 2017 draft, the Colts selected Grover Stewart, D lineman, Albany State. He's a depth piece across the D line. Huge man, could possibly play nose or D tackle for the Colts. Played that lower level competition, but on tape he completely dominated him, and that's exactly what you want to see. He's a project player in my eyes, but he's got very good athleticism for a man his size.
I'm gonna be honest with you. I have no idea who Grover Stewart is.
I never heard of him before the draft.
I googled Grover Stewart, and Google said who. I found some tape. It was in black and white. I don't know. He could be the future Hall of Famer. I'm not going to pretend to know who the hell Grover Stewart is or what he's about.
Yeah, that's all I got.
In the fifth, they selected another cornerback who I absolutely love, Nate Hairston out of Temple. He's going to compete at that nickel spot. There's going to be some competition there, going to be a special teams kid. And he's a converted wide receiver, pretty athletic, big-time hitter, which I absolutely love.
I love this pick by them, just continuing to add some youth at a position that they're going to need, building that defense up. I'm glad to see the Colts went completely defense this year. He has the ability. He's extremely raw, but he has the ability that if he's brought along the right way, he could be not a very well-known guy, but he can compete at the NFL level.
I like the fact that he is willing to change, I guess, would be the word or the phrase. Again, he started off at wide receiver. He's a one-year starter at corner. You don't exactly know what you're getting out of him yet because he is still very, very raw at that position. But the willingness to change, to get a shot in the NFL and to actually get drafted bodes well for him, in my opinion. And again, you can't have too many corners, in my eyes. We see corners drop all the time. And just another depth guy. I like it. So
I could not agree more with what you just said, Josh. And this is why I was so mad at the Chicago Bears. Cornerback is a position that you just need to draft and draft and draft and draft. It's like any type of ideas or anything. You throw them at the wall, see who sticks. Who doesn't stick, you cut. It doesn't matter. He's a fifth-round pick.
Yeah, luckily we're not talking about the Bears. Continue on.
With their final pick, the Colts selected the franchise from Northwestern, linebacker Anthony Walker. Tim, that was his nickname. That's what the marketing team at Northwestern labeled him as. He was kind of their big go-to guy to market. But his 2015 tape was very good. Then you turn on his 2016 tape, not so good. He kind of tried to bulk up for this season and lost a lot of the skills and athleticism that made him so great in 2015. Very smart kid, though. Went to Northwestern. That is not an easy school to get into. He wants to be a GM when he's done with football. He's kind of a brainiac, but I don't think the game's going to be too big for him. He's late getting into camp with the Colts because that stupid college rule with universities with
quarters.
Yeah, quarters and not semesters. But I think he's going to have a chance to play. Colts kind of got four or five guys at that linebacker spot. None of them are too great, so Anthony Walker's going to have a chance to play.
He's going
to
get an opportunity, exactly like you said, Tom. It's all you could ask for being a fifth-round draft pick.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of would have rather seen him stay one more year just to see if he could have moved his draft stock up a little bit, but, you know, I don't hate him for it.
Could have moved it up, but also could have been detrimental.
Correct,
You know, who knows if he would have been drafted at all. I feel like, Tom, do you have anything else?
That's it.
The last thing I have worth noting for the Colts, not draft, but friend of the show, Tyson Graham, is on the Indianapolis Colts right now at camp. He's ranked right now as their fourth free safety. But, hey, a guy's getting an opportunity there. I believe out of the three drafts, he's the only one on a team, correct? Or no, isn't
Willie Quinn's
on the Bears.
On the Bears, so... and I believe he's the same size as Tariq Cohen, so who knows? They might end up going small for the Bears.
The good thing for Tyson Graham, friend of the show, is that Malik Hooker is out right now. He's rehabbing, so he's getting plenty of reps. He's going to get a chance to show the type of player he is, so I really hope he gets a chance to make this team. Most likely is this year, if he does make the team, it's going to be because of special teams, and I think he's got a chance, though. I really enjoyed talking to this guy, and I really liked his tape for the Coyotes.
The Coyotes, it is pronounced Coyotes, that's true, Tom.
All right, let's move on to the fantasy aspect for the 2017 NFL Colts. And when Tim decides he's ready, we'll go ahead and do that.
Well, Josh, little known fact about me, I was born ready, and I love now switching gears. And for as complimentary and loving and caring to Tom's feelings that I was here talking about the defense and the draft and the additions that they made, let's talk about the offensive side of the football, shall we, boys? Andrew Luck, let's start with quarterback, the franchise, one of the goofiest looking bastards you will ever see in your life.
Wait, Like, I'm being serious. Like, you don't find him attractive?
No, I do not find him attractive whatsoever. He looks like one of those people that live without electricity and grow beards and stuff.
Amish.
He looks Amish. He looks like he definitely lives lives an Amish lifestyle. Listen, Andrew Luck is a good quarterback. I'm not taking that away from him. He is a good quarterback. He is better than more than half of the quarterbacks in the league. He's probably a top 10 quarterback. But I am not on the same page as Tom thinking that he is a top 5, that he is a Aaron Rodgers. He's not a Tom Brady. He's not at that level.
I don't understand your hate for Andrew Luck. Look, 2 of the last 3 years, he's finished top 4 in fantasy. The 1 year he didn't, he missed 8 games because of an injury. Last year, he missed a game, was still number 4, and if he scored, I believe it was 20 points in that game, he would have been the number 3 quarterback in fantasy football. To say he is not an elite fantasy football quarterback, I think, is outrageous and stupid.
Yeah, the big thing is with Andrew Luck is he's just got to stay healthy. They're trying to give him the weapons now. They got Frank Gore. They drafted Marlon Mack. They re-signed Robert Turbin. So if anything does happen to one of those two guys, he can step in. Wide receiver-wise, you have a Dante Moncrief who hasn't stayed healthy. You have a T.Y. Hilton who has had very good fantasy seasons. And then now you're getting a Kamar Aiken in from free agency, which I think is the very underrated signing.
It's a steal.
But you're getting him more and more weapons, and I think this may be the year where we could see Andrew Luck actually put up those elite fantasy quarterback numbers.
It will be interesting to see what he does. What round would you be willing to take an Andrew Luck? And this is my point of why he's not on a Tom Brady, why he's not on an Aaron Rodgers level, because those guys are end of the first round, early second round, maybe even before that, depending on your fantasy mentality. What round do you guys take in Andrew Luck?
In like a standard league, if he was on the board, if I'm picking probably late in the 5th, I'd be looking at Andrew Luck. I am not a big proponent of drafting quarterbacks early.
It's a big word for you, young man.
I know. I'm not a big fan of drafting quarterbacks early in most fantasy leagues, but I think Andrew Luck gives you a big-time advantage over a lot of quarterbacks or a lot of teams in fantasy football. If you have him on your team, probably 8 of the 13 or 9 of the 13 weeks you're playing in the regular season, you're going to have an advantage over the team you're playing at the quarterback spot.
Yeah, I think right now Andrew Luck's ADP is like right at the beginning of the 5th round, yeah. Right? Is that what you said? So 4th quarterback off the board. And if you have somebody that really likes Matt Ryan over Andrew Luck, they're going to take him above Andrew Luck, and you might be able to get him mid-5th round. And I think late 4th round, early 5th round, if I am really wanting a quarterback and I have my you know, 1 running back, 2 wide receivers, and my 2 running backs and a wide receiver, and you feel confident enough to get him late in the 4th or early in the 5th, then go ahead if you want to. Again, I'm not a big guy that takes quarterbacks early, but if you really think that Andrew Luck is going to be that guy this year, then go ahead and do it.
A lot of people in the national media are bashing the Colts O-line, but this is the first time where we've seen consistency at that spot for him. Last year they drafted 3 or 4 O-linemen. 3 of them will be starting for the Colts this year. They have a solid left tackle. They got Jack Muhort at guard. He's a solid guard. They invested a first-round pick into Ryan Kelly, and they got Joe Haig and LaRaven Clark. It's consistency at the O-line, something they haven't had, and it's something I'm looking forward to. I think the Colts' offense is going to be better than last season, and I'm excited about it.
And then when is the Colts' bye week? Is it later in the season?
I'm not sure when it is.
I think it might be week 11, if I'm not
right
mistaken.
Here, if my dial-up will work, because Josh only has dial-up in the Pony Keg Sports
I think it's
studios.
Week 11.
It is late this year. Where are we at here? I don't know. It doesn't tell me.
Well, regardless, if it is later in the season, that's just an added bonus. Then you don't have to worry about replacing him, or not replacing him, but getting a replacement quarterback just for that week early on, which is nice.
Yeah, or if you're making a playoff push, it could be detrimental. Josh, I want to know if you have the option between Matt Ryan and Andrew Luck. Who are you taking? Tom and I need to stay out of this conversation.
It's tough because, like I said earlier, you have all these weapons now surrounding one Andrew Luck, and you have the possibility of a healthy Moncrief. And if Moncrief is healthy, all the dude does is catch touchdowns.
Yep.
He catches touchdowns over and over again. He is a great red zone target. And then now you're looking at one Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan has Julio Jones, who has not been the healthiest wide receiver. And then you have Mohamed Sanu. You have Taylor Gabriel. But now you also lost your head coach in Shanahan. Shanahan's now gone.
Offensive coordinator. Wasn't he offensive coordinator?
Yeah, yeah, but now he's the head coach in San Francisco. So Shanahan's gone. Now what do you do? Are you going to be having the same offense? I'm assuming it's going to be relatively the same. But at the same time, it is not Kyle Shanahan calling the plays. So that may be a little bit of a downgrade, and I have it a little bit downgrade in my opinion. So me personally, I would take the risk with Andrew Luck this year, but it is a risk because he does have to stay healthy, and his wide receiver core does have to stay healthy as well.
Fair enough. Should we move on to the running back position?
Heck yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. Father Time himself, Frank Gore, just turned the ripe age of 34 years old this past May. Obviously, he over-excelled, ranked number 12 in fantasy running backs, had another great year. His touchdowns were down. Only had 4 touchdowns this past year, but still had multiples at 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 games over 10 points. That's exactly what you want. Listen, Frank Gore, you're not going to have as your running back 1, but from a running back 2, I would love those numbers personally. What are your guys' thoughts on Frank Gore?
This man's consistent. We saw his first year with Indy, he didn't reach that 1,000-yard mark, and he was kind of upset with himself for that. We saw him in his second year put up very good numbers, over 1,000 yards. Yeah, he only had 4 rushing touchdowns, but had those 4 receiving touchdowns as well. I think his numbers are going to go down this year. Tim brought up Marlon Mack a lot, and he's kind of on that hype train right now. I think Marlon Mack is going to eat into Frank Gore's touches, maybe more receiving touches and more receiving touchdown targets overall. But I still like Frank Gore as a top 20 running back. He's in an explosive offense, not asked to run the football all that much, but he's going to get chances inside the goal line to score touchdowns, and I think he'll do that effectively again this year.
He also did have 4 touchdowns receiving as well, which was...
I just said that.
Oh, I'm sorry. Which was an added bonus.
Apparently, I'm not the only one he doesn't listen to.
It's an added bonus with Frank Gore. You know, it's not bad to have, but, I mean, you look at some of the competition he's got behind him, Robert Turbin, again, like you guys said, with Marlon Mack. Me personally, I don't see Marlon Mack taking 40%, like you said, Tim. And I feel like Frank Gore is going to be Mr. Consistent. He's going to give you the 8 to 12 points that you want. A couple weeks, he's going to give you like 16, and that's just the way it's going to be.
He had 263 rushes last year. Where do you guys put it? Over or under 225 this year?
It'll be right around 230, 240, somewhere around.
So to answer my question that I just asked, over? Or did you answer the question?
I wasn't listening. I tend to black out when you're talking. Sorry, Tim.
That's all right. Most people do.
Yeah, I got it over as well.
Okay.
I don't see Marlon Mack taking all the way up to 40%.
Moving on to wide receivers, you have one of Tom's personal favorites, Ty Hilton, a guy who is extremely fantasy relevant.
I hate you.
Not someone who I'm in love with like Tom is, but hey, 91 receptions for just shy of 1,450 in yards, 156 targets. That's fantastic. Josh, you mentioned Dante Moncrief. Obviously, Moncrief was not healthy last year, but like you said, he's actually scored more touchdowns than Ty Hilton last year with only 56 targets. So 100 less targets, and he had more touchdowns. You also have Philip Dorsett. You talk about the addition of Kamar Aiken. What are your guys' thoughts on the Indianapolis Colts receiving corps?
First of all the people listening at StampedeBlue.com, Tim knows that he is T.Y. Hilton, but he just says that to be a dick.
StampedeBlue.com?
That's the SB Nation.
I know.
Tim,
I know
do you know who led the league in receiving yards last year?
That would be one Ty Hilton.
It was T.Y. He kind of blew up last year. He's being drafted as a top 10 receiver finally. He's ranked inside the top 12 receivers multiple times in his career now and has proven that he is the lead dog at Indy. And when him and Andrew Luck are on the field together, they are explosive. T.Y. deserves to be taken at the end of the first, early second. Absolutely love him.
You know what? I'm sorry, Josh. I'm going to interrupt. His name is not Ty Hilton. I will not call him Ty Hilton anymore. Let's talk about Eugene Marquise Hilton, his real name, where T.Y. came from. I don't really know. That's none of my business. He wants to be called Ty. That's on him. Eugene Marquise Hilton is a good fantasy football wide receiver.
Yeah, T.Y., he's being ADP-wise, second round, early second round, mid-round of the second. And you said that you'd be comfortable with him late first round. You're comfortable with him as your first wide receiver then, obviously?
I would, yes.
Okay.
Let's just talk about comparatively. Then obviously he had the most receiving yards last year, like you talked about, Tom. Talk about the guys who a lot of people are taking in front of him. So the Antonio Browns, the Odell Beckham Juniors, the Jordy Nelsons, the Mike Evans, the who am I? I'm missing
AJ Green.
AJ Green, Julio Jones,
Michael Thomas,
All those guys being taken in front of Eugene. Who would you take him in front of any of those guys?
Probably AJ Green. According to ESPN, Thomas is being drafted after him at the 8th spot. T.Y. 7th wide receiver. But if I started the draft with like a Jay Ajayi at the end of the first and T.Y. in the second, I'd feel extremely happy and extremely comfortable.
How many concussions is he going to get this year?
Probably one. But he'll be fine. He's a man.
Fair enough.
Eugene's a baller.
Let's continue on here with the other wide receivers, you know. The Kamara Akins, the Dante Moncriefs. Who is the number two guy there that you're taking with fantasy value?
Moncrief, hands down. The guy, all he does is catch touchdowns. We've said that over and over again. 7 touchdown catches last season. And then you look at some of those games, it's consistent. He can catch the ball when he has the ball thrown to him, and that's what I like about him. And then you have one, Dorsett. Dorsett and Kamara Akin, you have those two guys. A lot of people thought with Kamara Akin coming in, he'd be battling Moncrief for the number two spot. Or Philip Dorsett was going to be battling Moncrief for the number two spot. Moncrief is going to be the number two guy in that offense. I don't care what anybody says. He's going to be the guy. He catches touchdowns, and that's what he's there to do. He's the big red zone target. And then Kamara Akin, I think he's going to maybe eke out the number three spot. If not, they're going to give it to Dorsett, whatever. It's not a big deal. But I think added competition for those guys, it's great. But Moncrief is the number two guy, and I think you can get away with him being possibly a low-end two, high-end three. But yeah, if you got him as your third wide receiver, congratulations. You had a great draft.
I will come out and say, listen, only 23 years old. What is our favorite thing to say? When do wide receivers break out? You're number three. This is his third year in the NFL. He's averaging 6.5 touchdowns a year, and he's been unable to stay healthy. If he is healthy, he will be the leading wide receiver for the Indianapolis Colts in 2017.
Dante Moncrief, I really want to see this dude stay healthy. My bold prediction for the Colts fantasy-wise is Moncrief over 900 yards and over 11 touchdowns.
That would be one hell of a year.
I believe this is going to be Moncrief's fourth season.
Yes,
gentlemen. Oh, it is. I apologize, gentlemen.
Idiot.
Oh, okay.
I don't mean to be the one to point out the well,
that's a shellacking.
The flaws.
That's a shellacking for me.
Anything else fantasy wise? You want to move on to tight end defense?
I don't think we need to cover their defense. No. We should talk about Jack Doyle though.
Yeah, Jack Doyle, obviously, with the loss of Dwayne Allen, you know, Jack Doyle could potentially see a big uptick in looks. He was the 13th overall ranked tight end at the in the position. He was had the 11th most receptions for a tight end at 59. So, interested to see what he does. You know, he had the 5 touchdowns last year. If he could get up to, you know, 7 or 8, he very well could see a jump. He could be a top 5 tight end.
Yeah, Doyle, in my opinion, is kind of that tight end sleeper right now. He isn't on a lot of people's draft radars, but I project him to be a top 10 option this year. We've seen a lot of tight ends in the Colts offense score a lot of touchdowns, and that was when Kobe Fleener and Dwayne Allen were there. Both were scoring a lot of touchdowns. I think Doyle is going to hit somewhere between 6 and 9 mark. If he gets over 10, I really wouldn't be surprised. He is a valuable option in the red zone. And he's an all-around football player, and he has Andrew Luck's trust, which is a big thing.
Eric Swoop is getting a lot of love in the offseason right now, so that's a big thing to keep an eye out as well.
Colts have a lot of weapons.
Absolutely.
Nothing really much to talk about defense-wise. I'm going to kind of leave it off on that, right?
What about Adam Vinatieri, guys? Top five kicker?
We're not talking about him.
Come on, kickers are people too.
Best thing about Adam Vinatieri is that he was drafted, I believe that he was drafted before their first round pick this year was born.
That's awesome.
That's a crazy thing. Before Malik Hooker was born, Adam Vinatieri was drafted. So that's kind
of
cool.
I saw a picture of him at camp, and he's got a straight up Santa Claus beard. He's just totally white.
Wow, that's excellent.
Still making like 55-yard field goals.
So let's talk about Andrew Luck real quick. Does he finish as a top five quarterback, fantasy this year?
Top three.
He's top five.
Ty Montgomery. Jesus. I hate you so much. T.Y. Hilton. Does he finish, let's say top five wide receiver this year?
He will not be top five, but he will finish higher than Odell Beckham Jr. Bold prediction.
He will not. That's not true. And no, he will not be a top five wide receiver.
Frank Gore, will he finish, what, 13 last year?
I think 12.
Or he was pretty 12, close to 12?
He was a running back one.
Will he be a running back one option this year?
No.
No.
He'll finish top 20.
All right. Nice. All right, now that we're all done with that, let's go ahead and pick where we think they're going to finish in the division and what their record is going to be. So let's first start off with the genius of the group, and I use that term lightly. Tim, go ahead. Let's hear what you think.
So they have a decently easy schedule to start. They start the season in L.A. That should be a win. They play the Cardinals at home. I feel like that's going to be a tough game. And then they have the Browns at home, and that should be a win. But then they go on the road to Seattle, and they have the 49ers at home. So, I mean, realistically, starting off there, I see them losing one, maybe two games. Pretty easy to start. The part that concerns me a little bit for them, and they end the season, Broncos at home, at Baltimore, home against the Texans. They also have games there in Cincinnati. I see the Colts finishing 10-6 this year. I feel like it's going to be a good year for them. They have a cakewalk of a schedule. They're in an easy division. I have them at 10-6 competing for the division.
Yeah, based on last year's standings, the Colts have the easiest schedule in the NFL right now. That might not hold too much weight. We see a lot of teams that can turn things around and are much better than last year's results. I have the Colts as well at 10-6. I think the AFC South is going to be highly contested, very close. See, in all honesty, all four teams possibly winning the division. But I think the Colts have the best quarterback in the AFC South, and I think that'll mean the most. I think their defense has a chance to be a top 20 unit instead of being ranked 29th in the NFL, and that'll make a big-time difference for the Colts. Colts are going to win the AFC South.
Yeah, I got them at 10 wins as well. I wanted to put them at 11, but I just I couldn't do it. So I think it's going to be, again, a very close division, just like last year. Last year, 9-7, 9-7, 8-8, and then we had Jacksonville that was all the way down there at 3 wins. But I think that we could possibly see 3 teams trying to get that division locked up. And I think that team is going to be the Colts, and 10 wins I think is going to do it. So anything else, Cass?
That's all I got.
BDB, I love you.
All right, that's all we have for you guys. Hope you enjoyed the Colts breakdown. Be on the lookout for the next couple episodes that we have coming out, the rest of the AFC South there. And then we also have the previous episode that we just did, which was the Jacksonville Jaguars one. So be on the lookout for those ones. And then also hit us up on Twitter if you guys have any questions, at PonyKickSports, at PonyKickTom, at PonyKickTim. Or email us, ponykicksports@gmail.com. And then hit up our buddies on Twitter, @CleatGeeks. Check out their website, @CleatGeeks.com. Twitter at Cleat Geeks, and then check out our website, ponykicksports.com. What do you want?
And Cleat Geeks has a lot of good stuff going on there. They have the 2017 Cambodian Spelling Bee coming up as well, so make sure to check that out.
Alrighty, that's all we have for you guys. See you next time.